Hello, and welcome to another edition of the LQ Radio Series. Today I have with me Orv, who is the Public Relations Chair of the Scale, and hopefully joining us soon will be Ilan, who is the Conference Chair. How you doing, Orv?
I'm doing fine, Jeremy. Thanks for the invite.
Oh, no problem. So for those of you not familiar with Scale, it's the Southern California Area Linux Expo, and you can check out the site at socallinuxexpo.org. So Orv, to start things out, why don't you tell me a little bit about yourself and how you got into Linux to begin with?
Oh, how much time do we have? I've been messing around with Linux, well, let's see, this is 07, 11 years now. I got in moderately early. I'm a ham radio operator, and back 10 years ago or more, I was experimenting with a ham packet radio, which is X25 and TCP/IP over ham radio, using an application called TNOS, which was written under DOS with a C compiler, Borland's C compiler. Anyway, the writer kept adding features and had lots of testers and users, very active community. Well, his application got so big that the C compiler couldn't handle it anymore, so he moved it over to Linux and GCC, and the great majority of us followed him over. So that's how I got exposed to Linux. No X, just Linux, and only root account on a 386, 40 megahertz, and that's how I got started and just kept with it after that.
That's an interesting kind of way to get introduced. What distribution did you start out with there?
Oh, let's see. I believe that was Slackware.
Okay. That seems to be most people's first.
It was back then. It was the best packaged back then. I think I stayed with Slackware for a couple of versions, and then I think I went to Red Hat 5.2. That was my first exposure to a commercial distribution. I don't think Slackware is technically commercial.
No,
and
not,
I followed
not really.
Followed Red Hat all the way up through Fedora, although I mess around with Kubuntu and some of the specialized distros, so I'm a geek all the way around.
And how's your experience with Fedora been so far?
Pretty good. I think the only issues I have Fedora are the same issues everybody has with distros. Is on the desktop is handling the multimedia plugins, the proprietary links. I mean, I've been using it long enough to where, oh gosh, I haven't compiled a kernel in about 3 years now. It's gotten so good.
Yeah.
Everything I want to do with it is already included.
Yeah, that part is nice. So moving back to Scale a little bit, how long have you been involved with Scale?
Actually, since before it started. Do we have time for a little bit of history?
Sure. Actually, that was where I was going, absolutely.
I belong to the CIMI Cuneo Linux Users Group, which is centered out of Eastern Ventura County. For those who don't know, that's northwest of Los Angeles County. We pride ourselves in not being in L.A. County, but I digress. Anyway, it's been a very active about 98, and in about 99, Gareth Greenaway, who is one of the founders, proposed we start what he called a series of lug fests. And we held them every 6 months, and we were fortunate enough to have the Nortel Networks building in Simi Valley because I was the IT manager there, and they let me do pretty much whatever I wanted, but we had a large cafeteria, and we held these little lug fests where we invited people to come and demo applications or neat things they'd found. And we just lined up a bunch of the tables and in rows and gave people network access and power and went from there. And we actually had a few commercial distributors show up. And we did four Lugfests. And at Lugfest 4, I think we had, I don't remember, several hundred people show up over the course of two afternoons. So we knew we were meeting a need for education for the Linux community in Southern California. Unfortunately, Nortel was a pioneer in the dot-com crash, and that facility closed down, so we didn't have access to it anymore. So the whole concept sat idle for a while, but we were talking amongst the other area lugs about wanting to revive it. And we did actually revive it with Scale. And the first Scale was held at USC. And I'm going to get...
Hello?
Did somebody join?
Yeah, that's me.
Hey, Elon.
Sorry, guys.
Welcome to the show, Elon. We're actually already recording now, and Orv was just kind of going over some of the history of scale.
Okay, I apologize.
Oh, no
problem.
That's
okay. You came in just at the right time. What year was scale one?
2002.
2002, and we had attracted about 400 people and had something like 26 booths. It worked very well. The next 2 years, we were at L.A. Convention Center. Last year, we were at the Radisson. Yeah, that's correct. And this year, we were at the Westin. And between scale 1 and scale 5, we went from 26 booths to 70, and I think we printed in excess of 1,300 badges this year. So that shows you the kind of growth that this kind of activity has had.
So the year-on-year growth has been pretty phenomenal throughout the whole thing, it seems like. I know having attended scale 4 and scale 5, it was substantially bigger this year.
That was our biggest year-to-year growth from 4 to 5. We had, I think, 53% growth in at least badges, and 36% growth in number of booths and about 33% in expo area. So, yeah, that was our biggest jump, and we got the best press coverage thanks to you and folks like you. I think our press was double the year before.
Oh, wow. Okay. So I attend a fair amount of Linux and open source related conferences and expos, and I think Scale, at least from an attendee viewpoint, is a really, really fun expo to attend. You learn a lot. The people are great. What do you think makes Scale different than, say, the average Linux expo?
Well, you have to differentiate between the commercial ones like Linux World, which are almost purely commercial. I mean, that's their orientation, versus the regional ones. We have Scale in Southern California, Linux Fest Northwest, which is out of Washington, and the Ohio Linux Fest, which is growing quite rapidly in central Ohio someplace. They are doing quite well, and their orientation is the same as ours, more oriented towards end-user education. And, in fact, end-user education is the primary goal in Scale's mission statement. We're there to educate the end user, whether that end user is a college kid or a CIO. Here's what you can do with Linux. We're not there to sell anybody anything. So that's what differentiates it, is the actual orientation of the conference.
Okay. And as you mentioned, it's not as much of a commercial conference. Say you use Linux World as an example. They have IDG behind it, which is a pretty huge company. It seems like Scale is more a bunch of guys that get together and put this thing together. What are some of your biggest challenges in doing that?
Oh, gosh. Volunteer resources is always an issue. We are all volunteers, and that's one of the reasons we can keep the cost down. We do this for the love of it. Elon, you want to talk about some of the other challenges we've had?
The challenge is, as Orv said, one of the biggest ones is volunteer resources. It's really tough to get people to commit enough time to actually put on the show. A lot of times we have people that commit to do an hour or two, and that's great on the day of, but to get people to commit to do multiple hours preparing for the show, like do sponsorship sales or public relations like Orv does, is pretty tough. Working with the venues and other groups that don't necessarily understand that we are a volunteer show is also sometimes tough. They sort of expect things on certain timelines, and you have to do that. So
you have no people actually working on Scale full time. It's a 100% top to bottom a volunteer event.
Correct. We're all volunteers, and something that as any volunteer group knows, managing a volunteer organization is very hard. It's hard to get people to commit that kind of time to something that doesn't, bring them a paycheck home at the end of the month. So.
Yeah, putting together something that big is a pretty remarkable accomplishment, I think. Speaking of the venue, the venue seems to have changed almost every year. I think you had two in a row at the same venue, but other than that, it seems to switch a lot. Is that due to the growth, or do you plan to have it at the same place next year?
We're in the process of determining the venue right now. One of the, as you saw when you were at the show, we were at the point where we had standing room only in almost all of our conference rooms, and the expo floor was space was sold out as well. So we're trying to figure out whether or not we want to stay at the same size and you know, take a year or two off on growth, or you know, move to a larger venue and continue to grow at the same high rate that we've had over the last few years. It's something we'll probably be deciding in the next few weeks here.
Okay. And this year I noticed you had a couple of mini conferences. You had the Open Source Healthcare Summit and the Women in Open Source. Is that mini conference, did it work out well and something you plan to have more of in the future, or just an experiment for this year?
This was the second year we did a mini conference. This year we actually did two. The first year we had done, at Scale4X, we had done the open source, the open document format workshop for, you know, for government folks here in Southern California. And that worked fairly well. I mean, it worked great for the presenters, and it worked out great for Scale, but it didn't have as strong a response as we had this year. This year we had, again, standing room only and a lot of these, mini conferences. We had the Women in Open Source and the Open Source Medical Software. The Open Source Healthcare stuff will probably be back in 2008. In terms of the Women in Open Source, I'm not 100% sure if we'll be doing that again, but we'll definitely be doing some sort of mini conferences. We found it's a good way to target a specific sort of niche each Friday, and then before we lead into the general conference on, you know, the Saturday, Sunday. That way we can expose a whole new group of people to open source that might not have looked at it previously.
Okay. And for those of you that haven't been to Scale or aren't too familiar with it, I think that's another unique thing about Scale, is because most of the other conferences tend to be business conferences, they're during the week, where Scale is actually over the weekend. So if you're unable to, say, miss work to attend a conference, this might be a good conference for you to attend. So based on...
I was just comment about that, because it's on the weekend. You know that the people are there because they want to be, not because their company is sending them, although they may be sending them. So that contributes to the interest and the excitement on the expo floor, and I'm sure you've noticed that.
Yes, it is one of the more exciting expo floors. And can you kind of detail the cost of this conference is a little bit different than some others. So do you guys want to cover the cost?
We try to keep the cost quite low, both for our attendees as well as for our exhibitors and our sponsors, just because, we find that it makes it more accessible to people in general. The conference, most people, if they do a quick Google search or if they're a member of any lug, they find a promo code that gets them anything from, they get them as high as 50% off on attending the show. So if you go from $70 to attend the show to $35, as you know, you say you attend a lot of conferences. Some, you know, the majority of open source conferences or even non-open source conferences, you're talking about thousands of dollars to attend and get to see all the talks and participate in all the sessions. Whereas with Scale, again, for $35 to $70, you're in the door and you're participating in everything. There's nothing that would be off limits to you.
The other thing that does, Jeremy, that low entrance price would let even a high school student come if he wants and attend as much as he wants without hitting his wallet too badly. And we want to get them exposed as young as possible.
Yeah. Definitely. So a fairly large part of our attendance base is college students and high school students. And that's, you know, that's different from, you know, say Linux world, where, I mean, they even have an 18 and I think they have an 18 and over policy. So we're trying to hit anybody that's interested in open source, should be at a conference, be able to attend a conference like Scale or like Ohio Linux or, you know, the Linux Fest Northwest, and be able to meet the community and learn what they need to learn to get started, both in open source as well as in technology in general. It's definitely important to make sure that people have early access so that they can get involved in any areas that they feel might be of interest to them.
Sure. Now, you had mentioned you're kind of going through the venue for next year. Can you tell me a little bit else about what are your plans for next year's expo based on feedback for this year?
Definitely a lot of people missed the keynote, so it's something we're considering for 2008. We did not have a keynote program this year. We're considering adding an additional track to assist with offering more room to attendees. I mean, Orv, you worked with a lot of with a lot of the public feedback, what kind of suggestions you think we can get.
Sure. One thing we're going to do, we had a number of complaints about the standing room only in some of the more popular sessions. We're going to make sure that we're going to work and try and ensure that the popular sessions, the ones we believe will have the highest attendance, are in larger rooms. If we stay at the Westin, there's a couple rooms we can use for that. The other thing, you're talking about the mini conferences. We'll almost certainly reprise the health conference, mini conference next year. And who knows if that winds up being Thursday or Friday. That's all up in the air. The other one we're kind of considering is an education mini conference, either as a Friday, on a Friday, or perhaps as a separate track. That's all still up in the air, but it seems like education's just a golden area for open source, and we'd like to help publicize it.
Very nice.
Another mini conference that's been suggested is accessibility for the disabled. So whether it be blind or you know, deaf, what have you, to make sure that the computers are accessible to those to that audience. And it seems like it hasn't been a real focus in open source as of yet. So it's definitely something we'd like to shed some light on.
Okay. And you mentioned that some of the talks were standing room only, and then some, I think for one of them, I actually had to stand outside the room. Did you guys track the number of people that attended each one? And if so, what were the top, say, three talks that were given?
Absolutely. We track them. We have volunteers that introduce. I got a little feedback there. How's my audio? Is it okay?
It's good now.
Okay. The volunteers who man the rooms and introduce the speakers also have directions to track the headcounts. And we track them not only on a per talk basis, but we track them per year. And I think our high water mark prior to scale 5 was about 76 people was the most popular session we'd ever had. We broke that Saturday morning and broke it again with 130 people on Saturday afternoon. And I believe the most popular sessions were the three we had on virtualization. Elon, there were some other popular ones, do you recall?
I mean, I'll be honest, it was, for me, walking around and taking a look at the rooms, I wasn't doing an official headcount myself, but I mean, it was, all the rooms were full, which is definitely a change from previous shows where we had, you know, we might have had one track or two tracks full at any given time, and then, you know, the third track might be, half full, but this time, you know, walking in, you know, all of the seats seem to have people in them, so, I don't think there was one talk I attended that wasn't standing room only. It was, quite a pleasant surprise to have.
Okay. And moving away from the expo a little bit, what kind of interests you in the Linux and open source space outside of Scale? Like, what are kind of you guys into each?
Oh, you go first, Elon.
you know, for my day job, I'm a systems administrator, so I'm working a lot with the LAMP stack or, Java application servers, that sort of thing. In my personal time, I've been working with a lot of Voice over IP lately, a lot of Asterisk. You know, it's the open source, I just found, has a lot of tools to get the things that I want to do done, and it usually ends up getting them done a lot more easily than some of the proprietary tools that are out there. And so on that end, for practical purposes, open source has been very helpful to me on that end. And in terms of ideological purposes, I mean, thoughts. I mean, I personally, I think the open source development model I feel that it generates much more secure software and much more stable software, just because, again, you know, a lot of the cathedral and bazaar sort of ideas that Eric Raymond talked about in his book, it just makes it a lot more open for people to find the bugs. Prevents the vendor lock-in that a lot of us are dealing with in with proprietary software. So that's, you know, that's my personal interest in open source software at the moment.
Okay, Orv.
Well, I'm an IT director at a hospital here, and I've been encouraging the corporate IT folks to look at open source software since I've been here, about 4 years now. And I don't know if I can take much credit on it, but they are moving that way. Hospitals tend to be Novell shops anyway, so it's an easy slide from the NetWare OS to SUSE Linux or the OES version that Novell pushes. So we're seeing some movement that way, perhaps also thin clients. So that's that's my professional involvement. Personally, I've been involved in Linux advocacy for even before I was involved with Scale. I'd make the rounds of the PC clubs, once a year or so, and tell them what happened in Linux. And the first thing was, what the heck are you talking about? And recently it's been, oh, yeah, I run Linux, or, yeah, I've played with it. And in that advocacy role, Elan and I are also on a, at least for the next 3 months, April, May, June, we'll be on a radio show called My Technology Lawyer. It's at mytechnologylawyer.com. And we'll be talking about various open source things there because the host has gotten very interested in the business applications, and I think we're going to help him explore those.
Great.
Additionally, Gareth Greenaway and I every year have talked on the Digital Village radio show, which airs on KPFK here in Southern California and streams at kpfk.org every Saturday morning. We've done that prior to Scale for 3 years now, but we've gotten an invite back for this next Saturday just to talk about open source in general. And again, one of the hosts got exposed to Linux about a year and a half ago. Now he's running Ubuntu server at home on his own, so he asked us to come back and talk to his listeners some more. So I do advocacy. That's my Linux sub-hobby.
Okay.
And Orv touched on some, you know, a couple names out there, people that was doing this. I don't know if you mentioned this earlier before I hopped on, but there's a whole group that works on Scale, and there's probably about 10 of us that are part of the core group, and, you know, probably balloons up to 30 or 40 volunteers as we get closer to the show. So it's definitely important to mention some of their names and to thank them. We've got Gareth Greenway, who's our community relations chair. He works with a lot of .org groups to get them out to the show, like the Postgreses and the Ubuntu's and the FreeBSD's, things like that. Orv does a lot of our public relations and our publicity. Stu Sheldon is our technical chair. And, Shem Kapadia recruits all of our great speakers. Bala handles our registration. So, Lay does our website. There's probably a lot I haven't mentioned, but definitely important to thank them.
Don't forget Ron Golden.
Oh, definitely. Ron does our program. He's been doing our art for years now, and we're definitely thankful to him for that. A lot of us are great programmers, great sysadmins, but we're not all that great when it comes to the art, and Ron has been very helpful with that. So
it's a pretty solid core team, it seems like you have there.
Yeah, it's for the most part, a lot of people have been with us since the start. Whether they've been part of the core 10 people or not, it's they've definitely been with us since the first day. Some people started off as sponsors and now they're committee chairs. So it's been quite fun to work with the same group for 5 years now. And it'll be interesting to see how long we can keep the group together and putting together the show as the same original team that we had back when we first started.
Jeremy, one more content on continuity of volunteers. Elon, how old are you now?
23,
and he's got 5 solid years of managing a Linux expo under his belt, Jeremy.
Wow, that's pretty impressive.
It's very impressive.
Gareth is the one that got me started with all this back at the Lugfest and drew me into SDLug, caught me on IRC, so I definitely have to thank him for helping me get started in Linux and open source, and to you as well, Lord, for helping us get those SDLug meetings together back in Norris. So.
And for the foreseeable future, do you guys see this remaining a fairly non-commercial event, or do you have plans to commercialize it to expand moving forward?
I think what, sort of our secret sauce is the fact that we are a community-run show, and that's why it's so popular and why it's so fun. I don't know that we would have the same community feedback on, if we were to commercialize it. On the other side of things, a lot of us are doing this because it's a hobby and it's fun. I don't know how everybody would respond to having to do, sales and marketing as their day job. It'd be definitely be an interesting experience doing it from 9 to 5 versus, as a side thing when we're working at our technical positions.
Okay.
So at this point, I don't think there's any plans to commercialize it. We're definitely a nonprofit organization. We've got our 501c3 status. So,
okay.
besides the social implications, there's also some legal and some legal implications to commercializing the event.
Okay. And to kind of start wrapping things up, there's a ton of open source and Linux-related news that has been going around, you know, post-scale. Is there any one or two stories that you each have that you've been following close that you think are important to highlight? And I'll start with you, Orf.
Oh. The whole GPL v3 thing, I think, is going to have to be watched on its future impact. The other one I would want to comment on is the Microsoft Novell Pact. I think that's going to wind up being much ado about nothing, because you have to remember that neither company would have entered into that pact if their business model had been working the way they wanted it to.
True.
And that's all I'm going to say about those two.
All right.
I think those are both quite important. I mean, there's the GPL3 is definitely going to be something that's big over the next few years as people decide whether or not to move that to that. There's a lot of small news items that maybe haven't been getting a lot of coverage that I think are important. Things like looks like the Linux Fund group has kind of gotten into disarray again. So a lot of people that are walking around carrying their Linux Fund credit cards should know that they're probably not supporting Linux and open source for that anymore, but rather MBNA and Bank of America. So those are more community news items that I think we need to figure out how to get a lot of the community news out to a broader audience so that they know about some of the project changes that are going on, as well as some of the the financial changes that are going on throughout the community. So I don't know how it is exactly that we need, something we've even discussed with Scale is how to promote a lot of these smaller open source projects that don't necessarily have the marketing behind them.
Sure. And that pretty much wraps up everything that I had. Is there anything that either of you two had in addition to that?
I'll put out a call for volunteers for next year's show. We're definitely looking for people to help out with planning, whether it be marketing or sales for sponsorship or even running cable on the day of. We're always looking for extra hands. If you're looking to speak, it'll probably be in February 2008. So if you'd like to submit a talk for next year's show, go ahead, get an early start, and find our contact information on the website, socallinuxexpo.org. From my end, that's about it. Or did you have anything you wanted to touch
just
on?
Just one comment. We talked about outgrowing the Westin and whether we'll stay there or not. I can assure people that even if we do move, it'll be along that LAX corridor there. For local commuting, the 405 is not so hot, but those hotels are close to LAX and just a shuttle away, and we'll either be at the Westin or within a mile, so it'll be an easy commute, and I think we can look at bigger and better things from Scale going forward.
Okay. Well, I want to thank you both for being on the show. I really appreciate it. I'll definitely be attending Scale 6. I attended 4 and 5, and they were both a fantastic time. What do you guys think about maybe a month or 3 weeks before Scale 6 we do this again, and you can kind of give us a run-up into what's going on?
We would absolutely love it.
Yep, you can count on us for having us back. Just let us know when and where.
Okay, sounds good. Thanks, guys.
Hey, thanks,
Jeremy.
Bye-bye.